Guess what,
What's
Jacko?
up?
That entire conversation we just had was not on No Breaks. Just so you know, thank you to the person that was listening or that said this to us, because this is one of these, it's like a hoodie week for me. Just so you know, Jamie, we can't see you or Jacko. The thanks for watching, and which is usually known at the end of the streams. Guys, thanks for telling me. This is what the live chat is for. Okay?
So wait, they can't see us or hear us? Or they
what
couldn't?
We just talked about, which, let's be honest, yeah. Jacko. my people that
okay, so now can
I see everybody on No Breaks with Jamie or all.
Just, you know,
everybody's great. Thanks for
recycling content.
I know. Thanks for keeping me honest, live chat. This is what the live chat is for. Hey. You guys are awesome. So Jacko. Girl with the ASMR with the soda drinking, you gotta stop.
Stop.
You're not on the socials.
I've been taking a break from the socials, and I don't want to sound too self-righteous about this, but have we spoken about me taking a break from the socials?
I mean, all I know is that it like perfectly lined up with you coming on No Breaks, and I was like, I don't know what to do about that.
Actually, it's probably better than all the reactions I'm sending to my presentation here. I would think to really get in my head. So
your psyche.
No, but my psyche, yes. Yeah.
What was the establishing decision to go off the socials?
I feel like I think like everybody was kind of, I felt tension just constantly being drawn back around, even around my kids. And it was just like, I remember I was laying in bed with my daughter and I was like wanting her to go to sleep faster so I could get on Instagram. And I was like, this is like a really silly, silly. Addiction process I have going on, and I don't like it, and I don't like that. I also feel too that it really kind of has like memory formation disruption, in my opinion, because you're just constantly, you have no downtime in your brain to be kind of organizing the like events of your day, because your downtime is just constantly like idling into Instagram territory, and you're just like your brain's not given that rest time to kind of maybe like compound some memories, let alone it's like destroying ability to concentrate. None of these are like new conclusions, but I just found that I was just like constantly looking for my phone to just be scrolling on silly things. And you know that I pride myself on curating a positive Instagram experience.
Yeah.
Follow the watercolor artists, follow the happy news.
You were really grinding this. You were unfollowing a lot of people.
Unfollowing a lot of people. Any person that I had a negative initial reaction to or a judgmental reaction to, unfollow. Don't want that in my headspace. And even with that positive intent of curating like a really kind of like educational or positive experience, just still fully addicted. And you know, I'm not on like Twitter or X or whatever calling it these days, or TikTok or whatever. And it's just, it was all Instagram. And I was just like, you know what? I've proven to myself that I cannot do this on my own. So I told my husband, just change my Instagram account, change my password, change my password. And so I don't know it and I can't get it. And he's like, but you could take it a step further and like say, I forgot my password and, you know, blah, blah, and hack it. So I said, okay, then change the Apple ID password so I can't download it anywhere. Just take it. Wow. And he did it, took it with the OCD trimming scissors, took my passwords and just like, you know, they're on lock somewhere. So I've been off for what now, 6 weeks. And I want to tell you about my quality of life has improved.
Well, I want to tell you something. Apparently we're having audio issues here on No Breaks with Jamie at all. You and I can hear each other beautifully, and our friends in the chat are saying that they can't. So I don't know what the solution here is. I'm gonna just stand by. You stay where you are. You're cute and stuff. Stay there.
Okay. I don't have to be.
I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, from a tech, like, fixing perspective, I'm not really sure how to fix this, Captain.
You're the captain.
You're the captain.
Talking to yourself again.
Okay, so we're live. It says we're live. Mm-hmm. People are saying they can't hear us, which like really bums me out. But I'm not. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a first timer here. Mm-hmm. This is a first time issue. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I can muted. Hear you. You can hear me, which is shocking. People can see us. I'm not sure. Mama. I think I'm going to stop the stream. I think I'm going to restart it. You just stay where you are. You don't have to do anything. Okay. Okay. People, can you hear us today? I don't know. I'm going to just move my mic real close to my mouth and people are just going to have to deal with it. This is what we're going to do here. Okay, so you were bragging about your quality of life is better without Instagram. Here's where, obviously, I'm not going to be able to get down with the antisocial.
What? Antisocial, yes. Perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to
antisocials.
Right.
Yeah, it's part of your work.
What I am going to acknowledge about this process that you were just talking about, which to give it a 30-second synopsis, you've given up the Instagram. You had your husband confiscate your passwords, and you're saying your quality of life is better. Despite, I really do applaud your best efforts to curate your social media experience to be a positive one for you, and it still wasn't working.
It was still highly addictive because of the Explorer and the, just all the.
So this is where I struggle. Like last night, remember that place near my house that we went to with your kids and my kids? It was like a nature hike.
Yes.
Yes. So.
Since people can't hear us, we can speak with our hands.
Yes. I think they can hear us now. I ditched the little one after I picked the big girls up from school yesterday. I sent her home with Wilson, and I took the big girls over there because I was like, I want to go for a hike, which is, here's where I really struggle.
Okay.
It feels like the mom or the parental pressure with like going to do an activity with your children.
Mm-hmm.
What if something like beautiful or epic or memorable happens and you want to take a picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel this pressure to document it. And so then inherently, like, there was no reason for me to have my phone. We were within like 200 yards of my house. My husband had my youngest child safe and sound within that house, and I had responsibility for the older two. I didn't need my phone. But like, sure, people could argue like it's for safety, you should always have it. Do I always need to have it?
Or yeah, like what if you like broke your ankle?
That's a good point. That's with the kids. I just like, it's so bulky. And then I inherently, I'm like, stand together. It's a sunset. Take your picture. And then I don't know about your kids, but my kids are just really into now, like they want to take a picture too. They're like, okay, you take one. Then I want to take one. And then you take one. And it just becomes like we're taking photos of each other. And I'm like, when did I wanted this to be a hike and not a photo shoot?
Yeah.
Maybe I need to get the watch. For that, like for the safety.
For
purpose.
Connectivity. Yeah. Yes. Because you can pay for data on your watch.
Right.
I completely like resonate with that like feeling of just like it's constantly pulling at your attention to document the thing. And it's just like, well, what if I don't document this one sunset with him here? Like, and because again, back to what I was saying when we were in a vortex of silence, just you and I were in here and not anyone else.
Sometimes we need to be put in the vortex of silence.
Yeah. Go. You and I were just in our vortex of silence together. I really feel like that attention towards finding my phone and getting my phone out to take the picture robs your brain's ability to form your own memory of like what's happening with your kid in that moment. Because all the mental energy widgets are going towards find the phone and then negotiate about who gets to have the phone next for the camera picture and blah, blah. And like, because I would say if I don't, do you ever do this? And this freaks me out a little bit.
Go.
I feel like if I were to recall upon memories of like, my son, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, I can't like organically pull memories out in a way. And I wonder if like that's because like.
Because we can shuffle to, May 2019 and he was this age and then boom, there's our documentation.
Right. Or they're like, think about his 3 year old Halloween. And I'm just like, I got nothing. Like, do I have, is this like dementia or is this like my phone has robbed my ability to form memory because like. All the energies that are going into the phone management.
Maybe.
So wait, so what conclusion did you come to after this hike that you took?
I wish you didn't feel saddled by it?
It's
bulky. Like I like simplicity. I just want to like carry a car key. I would rather have nothing. I could have biked there and then we have like no earthly possessions. But it just, it's just like the thing. And like, you know me, I'm not a purse girly. So like, it's always, I just am constantly like bumbling with like a cell phone and a key. And it's just like, things are falling out of my pocket. And
yeah.
So I didn't come to like an answer to it at all. I just kind of like, I have become increasingly annoyed with it. But I also think it's been compounded by the fact that the older two are, and really it's the oldest one and then the 4-year-old's drafting off of it. The oldest one wants to take a photo. She's just really into like, girl, I've had like an existential like couple weeks with this child because, okay, well, I'll just like, this is like a whole story that I didn't even tell you. And here we go.
Oh,
no
good.
Breaks.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. So,
yay.
You know, my oldest is, she embodies and physically like she's comes like straight out of my mouth, that girl. Like she looks like me. She like constantly wants to just like, she's my little kangaroo pouch kid. Like she is, she's going to be with me through thick and thin. So what I can't tell recently is she has been asking me to get I have like my nice like camera, my Canon camera, like up, you know, up, she can see it. And she's like, can I do a video on your camera? And I'm like, at first I was like, it just takes pictures. She's like, no, can I do a video? I was like, I don't know what this means. So I set it up and she like asked me to record her discovering like a Christmas song for the first time. So she essentially was like, I want to like act out a scene. And aww. I was like, she was directing me. She was like, I'm going to be on the stairs and then you play the Christmas song and I'm going to look up and be like, okay, wow, this is a whole thing. Okay. So that was a couple days ago. That was before I went to Spain. And then I come back and then,
okay.
And then yes, a couple days when I first got back, she asked me to set it up again. So now I'm just kind of like, girl, what's in your brain? Like, what are we doing here? So I set it up and she's like, okay, this is the 4-year-old. They're going to color. I brought him home some fancy markers from Spain. And she's like, hi, I'm my name. And this is my little sister. And we're going to color a rainbow. And she's doing like a YouTube video essentially, like on how to do like a rainbow craft. And she's like,
which is how no. She doesn't watch this. Like, this is completely like de novo for her. She doesn't watch YouTube.
No. I did let her watch.
Do they do it at
I did
school?
Let her watch like a bracelet making one once, like for an airplane.
Okay.
For the airplane.
Yeah. Because sometimes at school, like,
they'll
put up a YouTube video, like, here's how you draw this dragon.
Yes,
and it's a step by step, which
so
is
now
cool.
She's doing it. Now she's the one who's like, if it's hard to uncap your purple, that's okay. Try the blue. Like, she's like having a full blown, like, camera tutorial. And I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I don't know what to do with this because here's what I landed on.
Okay.
Obviously, what am I to judge? I work in television. I'm on camera. Mm-hmm. I do this every day. I voluntarily sign up to do this every day. I understand the vanity that comes behind this. I very much, like, I get it. However, I feel like I was a whole human person before I got in. I was put into the vanity part of this so I can stay rooted in myself, understanding of self, while still being the person on television. Okay, those can be, like, two separate things.
Okay.
I can't tell if she organically, authentically wants to do this. Like, she now wants, she tells me, like, can I do acting on your camera? She asked me to do that.
Okay.
And is it because I'm doing this at work every day? Is it because is it modeled and she really is, like, out of my mouth, I always say. Or, like, does she want to do it? Is this, like, her asking to be signed up for a soccer team, which I would do in a heartbeat? And but now I'm like having a complex about this. And then the final thing is, not 2 days ago on GMFB, we had this lovely woman come on who was, you know, that OG Mickey Mouse Club photo that you see all the time of like Ryan Gosling, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. It's like, it's all of, there is a third or fourth girl up top that nobody, we had her on GMFB Overtime 2 days ago. Her name's Nikki DeLoach.
Wow.
She's on a Hallmark movie. Like, it's coming out. She could not have been lovelier, this woman. Like, this woman, she's in her 40s. She's got kids. Her son, Benny, had, like, a congenital heart defect. She's working with the Children's Hospital of L.A. Like, wow, what a wonderful person. It was, like, so cool. So I, like, walked her to the elevator, and I was like, I got to ask you something. Like, I got this kid, and she is just, like, all on me about this. What do I do? She was, like, she gave me all this advice about, like, how to navigate it. Because I was, like, when did you know you wanted to do this? She's, like, when I was 4. And I was, like, oh, God. So I am in a pickle.
So, what you're saying is you're worried about how to, like, nurture her, like, groundedness as she, like, shows, like,
interest.
Natural interest in, like, this kind of
performance.
Yeah, like, how do you, right. Right, because you could substitute it in with any passion coming in early, like.
Like, I'm obsessed soccer with basketball. I want to go shoot.
Yeah, it's just, like, would you be having the same conclusion?
No.
Like, you wouldn't be having the same conclusion.
Right. If she was asking me, okay, like, I want to go outside for 30 minutes and shoot the basketball, I'd be like, let's go out for an hour. But the fact that she's asking me to get my camera down so she can, like, pretend, I'm kind of like, no.
Do you think it's, I mean, I feel like for a six-year-old to come from, like, a vanity route is not, it's kind of, we are, you are superimposing that as an adult. Mm. I don't feel like that's coming through from her because she's too young. Like, that's,
okay. I didn't think about that
it's one. Not vanity because it's a six-year-old. It's more like, that's I think it's probably a large part of, like, seeing you, wanting to emulate you, seeing how, you know, you're, you know,
but it's not doing like she wants to talk about football. She wants to do, like, her own stuff, but she wants to have
documented. So she's kind of making it hers, but it's also in ultimate, like, emulation of you.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I don't really, I feel like we're kind of, like, superimposing, like, the vanity narrative on it. It's just, like, how would you
want to instill, really, like, values? Nice. It was really nice because this woman, Nikki, was, like, such a lovely person. And it was such a wake-up call to, like, okay, you can be, like, you just, I don't know, you're in Hollywood. And, frankly, that Mickey Mouse Club, like, picture was just, like, so jarring because it was, like, we've seen that picture a million times because the people in it never realized. I never even noticed.
Wait, is Justin Timberlake in
it?
Yes, I can it's think like of it right now.
Three men. It's, like, three young people and three young girls. Three young men, three young women. And she's one of them.
Wow.
I was like, we could do a whole interview on that photo in and of itself.
Yeah. I think there's one, I think it becomes kind of not in the best interest of the child, so to speak, if, like, it's really, like, a parent-led operation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you're kind of allowing her to lead it and you are propping her up with, like, active support while also kind of, like, wrapping around all these other values that you want her to, like, take with her, that's really different than I feel like a lot of what happens with, like, parent-led endeavors for their kids in the industry.
I mean, it would truly be, like, a kicking and screaming situation. I was like, you're going to go be on three different soccer teams and three basketball teams. She'd be like, she would do it because she's so she's so compliant to me, which, you know, is a different conversation. Yes. But that would be the parent-led thing. But instead, she's just like, please sign me up for piano. Please, you know, can I do acting on your camera? That's what she says. Can I do acting on your camera? I'm like, so I think I just need to, like, lean into it the way I would, like, take her, like, if we were out in the driveway, like, shooting hoops.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to go about it. It's like, try to substitute in other, it's like, you're, try to substitute in other hobbies to say, am I having this reaction universally or is it because of this specific hobby?
Yeah.
Right. You know, and that's probably a good way to, like, suss out, like,
so that's been the last couple of weeks. It's been really kind of, like, entertaining to, and she won't, like, it was a, I do the thing where I'm like, ask me twice, ask me three times, like, just to kind of, like, gauge interest.
Yeah.
And she, like, clocked me 7 days later. She's like, you said when you came back from Spain I could do acting on your camera. Like,
oh,
yes, I did.
So, like, what do you find yourself, like, extrapolating out kind of, like, some worries about this?
I just, not worries about the actual act, about, it's kind of the way mom used to say about, like, when I was a little kid and people come up to her and be like, oh, that child is so, like, chatty and smiley and blah, 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 blah. And she, mom fought so hard to lay, like, no value and, like, no value in how you look and no value in all this and, like, that.
No, it's like the inner, your inner self is the, where the importance and the value is.
Exactly. So I don't know. I've kind of just been like, I'm going to put this to the side. But she keeps putting it in my, like, my right in front of my car, essentially. So I got to come up with some activities. So now I've been looking at, like, okay, there's, like, kid acting games where you do, like, improv with them, you know?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, we got to, like, set
up. Oh, that's good imaginative play, too.
Yeah, exactly. And, like,
what about charades? Do you ever play charades?
No, but we should.
Oh, that's a fun after dinner activity.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and she's, like, in her little musical this fall, which she's, like, very excited about, and, yeah, she's got her little...
I also feel like, do you feel like there's just, like, a lot of pressure, or do you feel a lot of pressure to, like, make sure you're exhausting, like, every possible activity in a child, your, like, child's interest that they're expressing? Do you feel that?
What do you mean?
Like, she's starting to bring you some, like, organic interest in acting, and I feel like you are putting it on yourself to be, like, games! The theater, the music lessons, like, you're just trying to make sure you're hitting all the, like,
it's more
because I often think about, like, our parents growing up, or if you were of someone of limited financial means, and it's just like, you get to pick one extracurricular, and, like, Oh, that's
she's,
it.
Yeah,
you know?
She's only in one right now. She's just in her little musical. So it's more that I am not equipped to be in this space. Like when I took her to just meet the piano guy that I had her meet recently, when I was, that was maybe going to be her next activity that she's allowed to do. I straight up walked into that piano studio and I was like, I got nothing when it comes. Like this guy, Mr. I don't know. I'm like, I think she's good. I think she likes the play. But like, I mean, you would be more equipped to stand in there and like clock this guy.
Frankly, I would argue that like you're better suited if you have a child with like a super overlapping interest category as you, then that's where kind of like intensity and expectation and like that kind of like, like there's like a big soup of like expectations. And this is just kind of like, you get to lead this and I like being with
I'll
you.
Drive
so
you.
Go
yeah,
on. Like it's almost like a little bit like pressure off you, like to kind of just be like, I don't know, but I'm with you. Like that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So she, I think she's, you know, once she's done with this like little singing deal and then, you know, maybe she'll do the piano next, but yeah, mostly it's just like, she's not banging down my door. Like I had her on a little basketball team this summer, not asked to do it again. Hasn't asked about soccer. You know?
I think it's always easy to like kind of downshift into like, what activity are we doing for your body health, your brain health, your artistic health? Like that's kind of an easy place to go. Like, okay, you might not like soccer and basketball, but everybody needs to do a physical exercise every day because that's for health.
Like my bike that I took them on.
Exactly.
I was going to – this is the other topic that I was going to bring up to you today. I talked to Giselle about this yesterday, and I was like, you know what? I don't know if I know this about Jacko.
Ooh.
So here's the premise. This is a full-blown left turn. Do you have any – this is what – here. So here's some insider scoop to those people who are listening in the chat.
Let's left turn into – can the chat people hear us?
Yeah, chat people confirmed can hear us because someone wrote props to my Canon camera, which I know. Like, that was a gift 10 years ago. Mom and Dad gave me the Canon camera. I was like, I've had it a long time. But any – what we do here when the sisters chat, people who are watching on a Big Sister Wednesday, we make sure we don't move on too quickly. Any final thoughts on that topic before I take you on a left turn?
I mean, I've really been working hard on not being, like, redundant in my messaging.
Okay, so you're good.
So, wait. Am I? Wait.
You're acting like Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande right now. We could just like hold fingers at the Wicked.
You know, I don't know anything about them. I haven't seen Wicked. I know.
I haven't seen the Wicked either, but their interviews are just shoved down your face on the socials.
Yes. Yeah. I did like the one where it said these look like people at like a fertility counseling session. That was funny. Yeah. What do I want to say? No, I actually kind of feel like it's like takes you off the hook for being like too like much of like a stage mom, no pun intended, about like whatever the interest is. Because if it was like a basketball, then it's just like too much. And then it's like, I have to say this to my husband too about skiing. It's like, okay, I know you're like real hyped about it.
Yeah.
And like, this is your like, you know, activity that you want to do on your last day on this earth. But like, make sure you are, you know, not putting them like dad wants to take me and I have to go, you know, like, so I think it's actually kind of nice that you get to let her lead and she gets to see you rising to an occasion in which it's not your forte, but you're going to be there for her. So I'm excited for it.
Okay. Left turn. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay. Yep. I love it.
So yesterday, Giselle and I were talking about, let's see, how do we get into this window? She brought up the fact that when she goes home to Minnesota, her mom is like, her parents are still in her childhood home. Like her mom hoards, she's got boxes. Yeah. And so Giselle goes through things when she goes home in like a speed that works for her. And she unearthed this box of journals and she was reading them. And I asked her, this thought came into my mind that was like, oh, this is also coupled with the fact that recently I unearthed some old emails of mine from a breakup that was atrocious. And I was like feeling sad and proud for the girl that was receiving the angry emails and like how I wrote back, like my language that I was writing back in the emails. Neither here nor there. The point is it brought me to an age of my life where I was like, I would say the age in which I hurt the most was the ages 20 to 24. So I asked Giselle, like, do you have an age, a window or an age that you like hurt the most? And I think she said she went with two ages. She went with 23 and then just after she turned 30. So I'm viewing it, I'm asking these questions more in like a romance sense. I don't know this of you. Do you have, and if you want me to keep talking while you burble on this for a second, I will. But do you have an age bracket that comes to mind that you, because your history of romance is, you know, it's, I would say it's atypical.
Is it?
I don't know. It is for me.
Okay.
I mean, you didn't date.
I had like a few one-offs, I'd say.
Yeah.
But it was all in the backdrop of like my husband, like.
Right.
He was always part of the scene. And then I was like trying to do some other dates to be like, is this how it's supposed to be?
Yeah. You know, it's Am I supposed to be thinking about him or like tell him about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, no, but I would say, I don't know.
Do you have an age of like heartbreak or heartache that comes to mind?
Probably, you know, yes, that's a really, and we're speaking specifically like in your significant relationship. Yeah. Mm. Oh, so then I would certainly say like ages like 18 to 20.
18 to 20. Yep.
When I was really trying to like figure out like what the hell am I supposed to do with this guy who I know is like the guy, but I just am like way too ill-equipped to handle this right now. Like,
well, and you were doing all of the like figuring out of life things. You were a freshman in college, which was challenging for you. Like, it was
right.
all the things.
Right. Right.
Watching I was, like, you do that, I was like, you guys, that looks like a lot.
I was individuating really poorly.
Please tell the really, class just what the definition of individuating means.
Becoming an individual. Separating from enmeshment from you and others. Individuating. Okay. Badly.
Going to class, you know, struggling academically.
Struggling, right, and just kind of being like naive and not having really encountered like a lot of like turbulence or hardship. And then I was, and I was kind of by myself, and I was like, didn't know how to kind of weather those storms.
And
also
this guy was like in love with you.
Yeah. He was like, I, you know, I love you. And I was just like, not ready to say the words back to you. Sorry. Just like when I think back on it, I'm just like, oh my God, ick for me. ick for me.
Yeah. Right. Could have done that better. Sorry.
Yeah. Just like, yikes. A little emotional intelligence on that one. I don't know how handle that well. But yeah, I would say the 18 to 20 of just like really trying to have like growth spurts that needed to happen and they weren't happening. And just really kind of dealing with a discomfort of like being away from home, being away from you, dealing with this person who is very, and I think I knew the moment I met him that he was going to be significant to me, and just not being able to handle that because I was so inexperienced from like a
romantic perspective.
Romantic perspective, and really feeling like that's not going to happen for me because I'm just like a, you know, Dr. Evil impersonator.
It's this. Who, it's me? Like, are you talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah. So probably just like, yeah, just
18 to 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that.
Yeah. Agreed.
You had other, it was important for me to define the category the trauma or the heartbreak, if you will, because you experienced other trauma and other heartache in your life, but this specifically in the romantic capacity, I figured that was it, but
yeah. Once that turbulence kind of settled out and I was just like, okay, this is my guy, and like everybody around us was kind of like, haven't you guys been together for like 2 years now?
Yeah.
You basically travel as a pair constantly, so like things change. Okay. What were yours?
20 to 24. So
that's a long time.
Yeah, it was. Let's see. It was, and I'm gonna have to speak in code, so bear with me, and don't you dare utter a single individual's name.
I'm very good at this.
20 to 24. You know, I redabbled in a few relationships that were significant to me from high school.
Mm-hmm.
I dabbled in dating people that were prominent athletes
in society.
Yeah, I'll just say they're athletes. I dated athletes, two different athletes. Mm-hmm. And I dated somebody who, like, you know, was very different in like the religious aspect from me. Mm-hmm. I dated somebody who, I think that's it. I dated like somebody who I met on the internet. I dated, like, I kind of did all the different types of dating.
Was the heartbreak like the realization that this isn't my person? And was it like a derivation of like, I can't find my person? Was that the heartbreak?
The heartbreak was, it wasn't heartbreak. It's more like I was clear. I think I was hurting.
Heartache?
I think I was hurting. Okay. I think I was like a hurt individual, because there was definitely heartache from more significant people that I was like with that we had moved along from. And then I think 24 to 25 was like that really turbulent relationship that I was in before I'm then with my now husband. So that, you know, and that was a looking back. Okay, so what happened was I looked on my email again. It's funny because I come up with these topics with Giselle and then you have to backdraft, but people are hearing them again on chat, whatever. Anyways, I looked up the word dental card, looking for a dental card from my spouse now. And all the emails came up.
That's so weird.
From my breakup. And I don't know why the word dental card was in it, but they were. And I was like, wow, you know what? I'm just going to search this person's email and just look at past correspondence. And it was like really sad. It was from the breakup window. That was it. It was not like loving ones. Mm-hmm. It was like just the breakup window. Mm-hmm. And it was like.
There were emails?
Yeah, because I had blocked him on my phone. Oh, yeah, so really manipulative, like narcissistic language. And then I was like trying to pat young Jamie on the back, like, girl, like, you did your best putting up the boundary. Like, just, you know, I was really like feeling for her.
That was good for you. That was good.
Yeah, but well done. But thanks. But that person who was like in those relationships, like, I do think that's why I kind of labeled in hindsight 20 to 24 is kind of like, I think that was like a hurt person, even though, don't get me wrong, like, I had my fun dating. Like, that's I think those are two different things. Like, I think you can have fun and like kind of be hurting. If that makes sense.
I think too, now that I'm ripely into middle age, and I think about,
you're 40. What, you
are 40. I know, and I'm just loving it up here on this hill. It's the best spot so far in my life. I think about the emotional and like intellectual aptitude of like a 20 to 24 year old and still feeling like that's really like really in formation, in brain form, still early, you're in brain formation still.
Yeah.
And I think about like the tools with which that young adult is equipped and how there's some really tough stuff that you have to deal with and you're still pretty young.
Yeah. Like, I think of your equipped 18 to 20 challenges, while they were coupled with like your romantic challenges, I think you were also trying to figure out like your academic pathway, which therefore implied your professional pathway. I don't think I went through any of that until 20 to 24. And because I didn't give a shit about college and I just wanted to get it over with. And that was me really entering the workforce and kind of making a decision that has now affected the rest of my life, which is like, oh, I have to go for this like full bore. And the way that that has had ripple effects on my personal life of the going for it professionally is felt certainly to this day. But all of that happened for me. Like, I guess maybe the broader question is like, what would you say is it the when were you the most hurt, or like what's the most like formative age that you were in? I don't know. Mine would be 20 to 24, I think.
Maybe the question is, what was the most transformative era of your life? Or at what point do you feel was like the time point of fully actualized? No.
Yeah.
No,
see, because like the hurt part of it is important. Because I could say other things in my life, the last 5 years of my life have been transformative, but I'm not like hurting. It's just transformative, period. Yeah.
So
I think
transformation born out of like emotional injury or.
Right, because like I don't feel like I'm not like wishing that never happened to me. I just
I'm not saying that either.
And like I certainly don't say I wasn't like some rot, heartbroken high schooler. I'm not gonna say 16 to 18. Like I just think 20 to 24. Like, because even by I didn't meet my husband like at 24. I just was I finally was like enough with that like cockamamie nonsense that just happened like, for the last 4 years.
So would it be like the time that the most like substantial like life pivots happen, or like figuring out,
but it's like direction? Based in romance, based in heart, based in like, you know, that's because and what I said to Giselle, because she said 23 and then the 30s, I was around her through some of her high school heartbreak, her high school romantic trauma. And I was surprised, having bore witness to that, I was like, I'm surprised you didn't say one of those ages. And she was like, no, I'm very proud of that person. Like, she immediately was like, no, that wasn't it. I was like, damn, girl, because like I remember that to be like so hard for you. But she didn't have that. So it really, because like, let's be honest, like relationship development and like romance for any person is formative in both a good and a bad way.
It's interesting that you like say this too, because I feel like I kind of discount and discredit like relationship heartache of like the teenager. I don't know, is that like a
is you that mean like a high schooler?
Yeah, Like, I'm just like, what? How did your relationship heartbreak inform you when you were 15? It's like, you're a child. Like, I don't, like, I don't really see that as, like, as informative as, like, well, a substantial relationship with a breakup as a 25-year-old. And I really don't think this is, I really don't believe this just because I didn't have a substantial high school relationship. Yeah. And maybe I would have a different opinion if I had had one.
You
but
don't,
I just,
you don't
like,
think that's informing your decision? Because I, for sure, I, that's all I hear when you say it.
No, because I just don't, like, I think of it as, like, the opinion, what does the opinion of, like, a child's experience, how is that similar to, like, your 25-year-old's?
It's two children, well, hopefully. It's two children embarking on, like, putting their toes into the zero entry pool together of, like, adulthood. First time romantic experiences at the formative ages of 15 to 18, again, hopefully. Like, we're not trying to slide scale any of this younger, but when you're doing that together as, like, let's call them high school sweethearts, and if that goes poorly for you or positively, like, let's, like, we can, it can also be the other way. Those, and I said this to Giselle, like, that is, what is that in that movie, the vampire movie with imprint? That imprints on you for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
The way I experienced love and heartbreak with my high school, significant high school relationship, it informs me to this day. It does. I don't discount it for being a 16-year-old. Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, I mean.
But I, that's so fascinating to me that you're just like, I can't have, I can't possibly have this opinion because I didn't experience that in high school. That's so interesting to me because that's like teenage, like, love and drama and, like, emo is all about.
I guess I just don't, like, give it the credit as being as profound as you are making it sound. But yeah, I mean, I guess I, again, we'll go back to what we were doing with parenting. What
is that you differently than I do when you parent? Treat some of the most, like, what I view to be, like, random childhood experiences as, like, super profound for the child. And I'm just like, what, why are we, like, paying such credence to this? Like, what is going on?
Okay.
Yet you are now going to go jump to a 15-year-old female. Your daughter will be 15 someday. And you're going to be like, you're a child. This doesn't, like, this isn't going to imprint upon you.
No, I'm just, what I'm trying to say is, like, when Giselle was saying, I'm proud of the person who was in those relationships, that's surprising to me to compare a 15-year-old coming out of a relationship with a 25-year-old coming out of a relationship. I just feel like those are two.
Well, I don't think really, she had that awareness at the time. I don't think that's what she was saying. I think she was saying she's looking back at that 15-year-old self and she's like, no, that person didn't experience what the 23-year-old did. So she's more like pleased with how the 15-year-old handled. I don't think at the time she was like, I'm a loud and proud 15-year-old. I handle all my No, it wasn't that. It was like, whatever happened.
I just feel like what I'm trying to say is, like, the 15-year-old high school relationship have the same, like, gravity as, like, your relationship from 23 to 25. I mean, just don't,
how can,
like,
you can't come out and say that when people, like, are with their high school sweethearts that they met at the age of 14.
That I'm saying, but that's one thing. You're with your 14-year-old sweetheart. I'm talking about a breakup. You're with somebody from 14 to 16, and then you're with a different person 24 to 26. I just feel like the adult experience is, look, I get balloons for this.
I don't know why. I do not know how that happens.
Well, it's because I'm onto something. I just don't feel that, like, a child's participation in a relationship has the same density as, like, what you experience from age, like, 34 to 36.
You know what? I'm just going to close on this. What I think is going to go really well for you is when your daughter is 15 and you continue to reference her as a child in these conversations.
Can't wait.
It's going to be great. Oh, wait. Last thought. Okay. I saw this great Bill Burr. You know Bill Burr.
It's fine.
The
as long as she's not squatting in a litter box.
Again, stop it with that. Why do you always do it in the final 90 seconds? You know the comedian Bill Burr?
Nope.
Oh, it's great. Just a legendary. I'm sure your caffeinated giraffe of a spouse does. Bill Burr is a comedian from New England. Really good, like, broad stroke comedy. Just great. Like, calls it like it sees it, whatever. He did this interview once. I'm not going to pretend like it was recent. This is some profound new thought, but it is too, because you're not on the internet.
on the internet.
Somebody said to him, he was like, oh yeah, and guess what, Bill? You have a daughter. I can't wait till your daughter becomes a teenager. And Bill goes, you know, the only people that say that to me are the people that failed as a parent.
Wow.
It was so just like, he was so sick of hearing it. And I think it's because like, in someone who is maybe like crass in his comedic delivery, like whatever. Uh-huh. But these people are like, oh, Bill, you're really going to get it now because you're going to have this teenage daughter. And he was just like, no, I'm in lockstep with my teenage daughter. Like, you have baggage if you're saying that to me. Like, it was, it really made me think. I'm going to send you the clip and I'm going to send it in a way that you're going to be able to see it. And it was so interesting.
Don't say it. Send it on the Insta talk. I won't see it.
I'll send it on this Insta talk. But yeah, it was, so I will not say that to you like, oh, look, we can't wait till your daughter's 15. I'm really kind of thoroughly enjoying you just consistently being like, when they're children and they're experiencing romance. Because like at,
they're children.
At 16 they're years children. Old, but it, gosh, does it feel real? Mm. It feels so real. And you have sure to honor it does. That. You got to honor it the same way you honor their big old 4-year-old feelings now.
I remember we did a lot of honoring of your feelings over breakups with lots of Good Burns CDs and sobbing and you know.
So. Did I sob?
Yes, I plan to.
There was some sobbing.
I have a very vivid memory. See, vivid memory formation happening before it's disruption by the social.
Yep.
Of you sobbing over a James Blunt song.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I don't love that one. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, I was a child, so what memory does that matter to me?
How could that ever
have formed
in any kind of?
Oh man! Yes. See, this was, you had no idea what we were getting into today. This was a good one.
I know. We'll have to come up with the 4 words of the day in a postscript.
You know, I told Giselle next week, let's come up with some Thanksgiving content, maybe memories or anything. And I told her, which I think you may have heard this before, but on GMFB, Kyle calls next Wednesday night. When everybody's back from college and you like go to the bars and you like see people for the first time, he calls that Makeout Super Bowl. He always does like a bit on it on GMFB, how it's called Makeout Super Bowl. Like, people come back from college and you see that person that you was like your high school sweetheart, or like you dump somebody or like whatever, and people go to their reunions. And
wait, when is this? Is this every Wednesday night or?
It's the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. You know, you
I definitely kiss someone on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Makeout Super Bowl!
You remember who I kissed?
Was it a high schooler? Was it a high school person?
Oh, yes.
No, it was my best friend's brother.
Brother?
On a pool table.
That was another date. That was another non-Eric smooch that happened.
On a pool table, right?
A little bit.
Well,
a little bit.
We got there. Make out Super Bowl.
And I want to tell you how formative that was for me. It informs me to this day. Oh.
Oh, exactly. Guess what, though? You were not a child anymore. I don't know what the concept of age is anymore. Oh, man. So anyways, great. Let's
wait. So the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is called Makeout Wednesday
calls it
night?
Makeout Super Bowl.
Oh, I got you. Okay. I was like, wait, the Super Bowl is in February. I was very confused.
Makeout
okay,
Super Bowl.
So I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've participated.
Yeah. Like, you know, you go to your local haunt.
Your local like, Applebee's.
Yeah.
All the kids are back.
Yeah. And you're like, you see that guy and you're like, no, I'm like, hot now. I've spent my first 6 weeks at Kent University of Kentucky. Like, look at me.
Yeah.
And then he's like, man, I see you differently. And you're like, well, I'm grown. And then you're making out against the.
Yeah. You know? Gosh, a lot of movies I've seen with this plot line.
Right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So let's come up with some Thanksgiving or make out Super Bowl, you know, but credit to Kyle for coming.
I wonder who my, I want to know who my kids are having their Thanksgiving Eve smooch with. That'll be fun to know later on.
I didn't go there. I want to know the yesteryear stuff.
Oh, no. This is fun.
Okay, until next time, or maybe 3 minutes from now. Love you, beat it.
Love you, mean it.